Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one too.
With cheese in France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese, Mickey. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to view a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, and welcome to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
I'm Silent Bob, or John.
If you're silent, you wouldn't speak. I'm JD.
Very noisy silent.
Yes, just the three of us again this week. No six man.
Oh, we like those show. Though. Those are awesome. Oh
my god.
Especially
it is
when
like trying to herd squirrels.
No, it's like trying to talk over a herd of squirrels.
I love those guys, but yeah, that was fun.
It was fun. Especially when we do something like Man of Steel, where it's just like, you know, you may like one part and you may like another one, but we are all united in our hatred.
So how are you guys doing? Have you recovered from last week? John, how are you?
Doing okay.
Anything new to report?
Nothing. No, not a thing. No, not at all. Not a. Zero, zip, silch.
I'm
boring. How many ways can I say it?
It feels like it might be code for something.
Oh, no code. Okay. I'm just in a real pensive mood. That's all. Like I'm still working through the Minecraft modding stuff. I can now make items and blocks, and I'm looking at trying out my hand at making animated blocks. I didn't realize that Minecraft modding, even with like 30 years of programming, I didn't realize that it was going to be this deep. And it really is. So otherwise, I finally saw Love and Thunder.
What do you think?
I think that you must carefully ration the amount of Taika Waititi that you put into any given film, because you can go over the top with some of your Taika Waititi. And yeah, I think there was a bit too much.
Okay, wait a minute. You didn't.
I know. I never saw it until this weekend.
You weren't on the episode we reviewed it?
No, I was flat on my back when that happened.
That's right.
My back went out and I forgot about that. I think at that point I basically turned on YouTube recommendations and just let it play, because like it hurt even to press buttons at that point. So yeah, no, I never saw it. And so yeah, it just seemed. I mean, I understand the vein of the Thor movies,
mm-hmm.
but I think they went a little too silly with it, you know?
Yeah, I see it.
It almost didn't make it you want there to be stakes that you get invested in. And at some points I was just expecting them to pull out a big cartoon mallet out of there.
So
like
when I saw something very interesting today talking about Thor and Love and Thunder, and it was just someone I'm friends with on Facebook said they finally saw it as well and went, they felt like the beginning half of the movie is being told through Korg with a faulty memory. Like,
yes.
If you notice, when Korg gets hurt in the movie, the tone becomes more serious for the rest of the movie.
Oh, that's one of those internet conspiracy theories that may actually come out to be true, even if it wasn't something that they actually tried to do. That's pretty cool. But I think think it got a little bit silly. Like there were parts where like, okay, he invests all the kids' weapons. Spoilers, people. He invests all the kids' weapons with the power of Thor. It's like, when did he, like, I know that after Odin passes away in the comics, the Odin force becomes Thor force or whatever, right? Or he wields the Odin force. So when did he learn that he could do that? Because he didn't even know that he had basically told Mjolnir, hey, I'm changing the terms of the agreement. Pray I do not change them anymore. You know? So like they just skipped over parts and it seemed a lot of contrivance. Even if it was still a fun movie. It really was still a fun movie, and I think it was okay the way they gave a send-off to what's your face?
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman and Jane Foster. Although I was really sad to see them just kill her off. I understand that she may have had a hand in that because, you know, Natalie Portman only came back because they gave her character something to do other than to be the damsel in distress. But I don't know. It just, that's all I can say. It was nice to see them tie off Lady Sif too. Like, you know, because she was absent when all of the rest of that cadre got killed off. So
I still think you should have saw her arm floating in Valhalla, but you know.
But that's the whole thing. I would have expected to see it because that was the direction that Taika Waititi put it in. And it was a little bit too much, you know. They could have left the Screaming Goats in. The Screaming Goats were awesome. So there you go. There it is. That was my very long, how do you do?
How about you, JD?
Oh,
what's
I'm fine.
New in your world?
After that, how do I follow that up? I'm fine. Everything's cool.
We're so boring today. And that's fine. Boring is good.
I was getting my Red Sunrise Kickstarter ready to go out.
Ooh.
Just going through it, tweaking the cover, putting the art book together. So digital stuff, I think, goes out tomorrow. And I want to check out the new proof of the book of the print before the print copies go out. But it's going pretty good on that one. I was planning on doing one in October. But with the new teaching job, I'm having second thoughts about that. So I'm probably going to put out a newsletter this week and maybe do stuff on Twitter and take the temperature of the room and see if people are interested or if I should just wait for this big project I have coming up first quarter of 2023. I don't know. You know, just kind of figuring things out. You know, teaching things going all right. Yeah, everything's cool. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Good.
How are you, Diff?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. The passes for New York showed up this week. So getting ready for that, trying to figure out, do I have to buy anything? Booked my hotel and busy with that. John, I had sent out everyone who's been on the show knows there's a show map. Send it out every week. Like, here's what we're going to be talking about. I apparently had missed a bunch of things John wants to talk about. He replied and sent them out. And no lie, I was on the phone with my girlfriend and I'm like, what's this? John sent. I'm like, he sent like six more things. And she went, tell John.
Whoa, them. Hey.
Sorry. Tell John. No, she didn't say John. She didn't say them. She said, tell John you missed that stuff because you were too busy having sex with your girlfriend this morning. Her words, not mine. Actually, she said really good sex with your girlfriend this morning. So, so that's, you know.
Well, okay then.
Y'all are creepy.
So I'm doing pretty good.
Guess so.
Yeah, no, I can't complain.
I have been.
I actually have a recommendation. Oh,
please.
Is there such a thing as too much TMI?
That's literally what that means. Yeah.
No, I'm TMI squared. I mean, like,
I started watching the Rings of Power.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, because I haven't. I'm not sure I'm going to watch it, but
so far, I've only seen the first episode. So far, really good. Like, I really like it. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, I think you'll definitely enjoy it. There's a lot of lore. It's interesting. I found out a couple things about it I did not know. They were not allowed to reference anything specific from the films because the films are, the copyrights are still belong to, was it New Line?
New Line, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they still have the rights to the films, so they're not allowed to mention anything specific. And apparently the Tolkien family, who is behind this series, also said Peter Jackson wasn't allowed to be involved at all because they did not like the films.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't like the films?
Huh.
Apparently.
Hobbit films or the Lord of the Rings films?
Like all of them, apparently. Oh. I mean, and I can understand liking the Hobbit films because that did feel like a cash grab more than actually a love of the book.
Yeah,
stretched it out.
Mm-hmm.
Into ridiculous. But yeah, no, apparently they didn't care for the films at all. But then it's so funny because watching this, it feels exactly the same. Like the people who made this was like, okay, we know what we have to go for and we know what we're not allowed to do. But yeah, they did it. So
we know what made as much money as God. And that was exactly what Peter Jackson did. So we'll just do Peter Jackson. Yeah.
We just want to ask him for help.
Is this a prequel or a sequel?
Prequel. Prequel. Yeah.
This is when they forged the rings, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the origin of Sauron in the beginning too. So
are they going to explain the fuzzy dice in this one as well? I mean, come on. This again, this comes down to there is nothing new in Hollywood. Nobody's got any ideas and nobody wants to fund any new ideas. They're just going to go to the same well over and over again.
I disagree with what you just said. Just last night, I watched one of the most unique sci-fi horror films I've ever seen.
Yeah. What's that?
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
why aren't you going to tell us? I mean, come on, JD.
Who's on first?
First of all, I saw two movies this weekend. I rewatched Teen Wolf with my son, and that movie, I don't know what you think of. You think of Teen Wolf, but I'm going to be honest with you. It sucks. It's terribly. It's a terrible movie. It's boring. It's plotting. It has absolutely no point.
I'm so surprised.
No plot. Teen Wolf has absolutely no plot. There's no story.
I think it's just the only reason it was popular was because it was Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Did you know it opened number 2 at the box office in August of 1985? Do you know it was number 1 at the box office that same weekend?
What?
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's lit. We were excited too because Andy's like, I want to watch a werewolf movie. And we're like, there's no werewolf movies for kids. Oh, Teen Wolf. First of all, not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it in the 80s, not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, boring.
Monster Squad has a werewolf in it.
We watched Monster Squad.
Okay. Werewolf's got nards.
Werewolf, yes, classic. And then I watched Nope on my own last night, and I've been thinking about it all day. Like, I really like this. And I made a tweet that upset some people. I said that Jordan Peele is what everybody wanted M. Night Shyamalan to be. And some people were not happy with what I said,
but I can see that. Yeah.
They're very much in the same, that supernatural thriller, you know, but Jordan Peele's a smarter filmmaker.
Yeah. He's not like, he's not basing the entire thing off of a gimmick at the end. He's just telling a really good story that happens to have some twists in it.
Correct. Mm. What I really like about, and I was watching it from a filmmaker perspective, is that everyone's gotten very edit happy in films over the last couple of decades. Like everything is like, very rarely do you see less than 3 cuts per second in a movie. Jordan Peele has a very old school sensibility to his movies where he holds on shots for a long time. And it really makes it unnerving because we take the rapid fire cutting is like done to kind of, you know, stimulate people's brains. Right.
All right.
He holds needlessly long in some cases,
which makes you think.
Yeah, and it does a great job of setting tension, you know, and in a movie that probably would have been paced normal in the 70s, right? He uses that same type of film pacing, and it really sets you on edge a little bit. I really appreciate it.
Now, here's the thing: does that holding on a shot longer work now? Because now our brains are so used to 3 cuts a second that we think that if they're holding on something, something's going to happen and we're waiting for it to happen. And it's not happening. And we're like, Uh-oh.
John, that's literally what I just said.
No, but they used to do long holes before.
They did, because the pacing of movies was just different. Now, his movie, I think, if this movie came out in 1975, I don't think it would feel the same. I think it would be different. But he uses a very old world sensibility with his filmmaking. Like, a lot of people, too, are obsessed with moving the camera. And he moves the camera, but not a lot. Like, he does a lot of lockdown shots, you know? And it does a really good job of setting tension. Like you just said, like you're waiting for something to happen. And then it's like, when it doesn't happen, you're a little uncomfortable, which is good. This entire movie felt uncomfortable. And that's one of the most unique alien invasion movies I've ever seen. Right. Mm-hmm. And it also has this bizarre backstory about this sitcom.
Oh, I heard about that.
Oh, it's weird, but it's really good. And like, what I really like about him is he doesn't explain everything. Like in this way of filmmaking today, like, everyone's very into explaining everything. And I think that's very much a studio thing, is we have to make sure everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Right. We don't want people
to treat us like we're idiots.
They really do, because we're dumb. But then when you don't explain something, people go, why didn't he explain anything? Like, the shoe is the big thing. Why is the shoe standing straight up? And there's no explanation for it whatsoever. And it's fun because it leaves things open to both critical and artistic interpretation. And I've left this film really thinking about it. And I was mad at myself too, because there are parts in it that are a little bit slower and I let my mind kind of drift. I kind of find that I enjoy watching movies in the theater more than I enjoy watching them at home. I get less distracted when I'm watching them at the theater. And I really come to a point where I don't like watching movies at home. But, you know, I made myself do this and I'm really glad. I have it for one more day, and I think I might watch it again after we're done with the pod tonight. Like, I really enjoyed it.
I just realized today that it was on streaming, but I had it
it's on Amazon. It's like $18 to rent it right now.
Oh, geez.
And I know it's expensive, but I was like, you know, I really want to watch this movie. And like, the nearest theater for me is like 20 minutes. So I was like, oh, I'll just do this.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you described? Isn't that why the original Halloween works?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's those long shots, mm-hmm. building that tension. And then like, when nothing happens, you're like unnerved. Yeah.
There's a lot of, actually, now that you mentioned that, there's a lot of early Carpenter in some of this movie. Right. And then a lot of his work too. You can see some of that early Carpenter influence, like not so much the Big Trouble in Little China Carpenter, but the Halloween, you know, era of Carpenter, where, you know, it's unsettling. You know, and it works really well for like it's a really high concept film, like a high concept sci-fi. It's a sci-fi horror film. Like, it's weird to say it's in the same vein of Alien, but because it isn't, but it is at the same time. Cause it's like, or The Thing, it's similar without being the same, you know, it's good, man. I highly recommend it. It's different. It's again, like Shyamalan, like, cause again, I was thinking about it in comparison with Science, right? Cause they're both, their third movie was an alien invasion movie. And I really like Signs, but the last 15 minutes really, I think, deters from it. And I think it's not very rewatchable. Like, I think Signs works really good. Like, a lot of Shyamalan's work works good the first time out. And then when you think about it, it starts to fall apart.
Yep.
Whereas this movie, I think the more I think about it, the more I enjoy it. Right. Like, it's very rare that you see a movie that stays with you. Right. Cause we live in this consumer culture where you're just continuously consume media and continuously consume products, and you don't think much about them. And I said, it's been 24 hours and I just keep thinking about this movie. So it's mission accomplished.
It's the visual equivalent of Ronnie Spector's sound wall, right? We just keep getting hit with
Phil
with visual Phil Spector, whatever Ronnie Spector, but you know what I mean, right? It's like,
speaking of media,
yes,
and things that will stick with you for a while. Talk social media bandits.
Ah, crap baskets.
So first,
my little baby.
No, we skipped over Hulk, but okay.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. We could talk She-Hulk.
Sure. We were meandering, right? We were.
All right, hold on. We'll get to social media minutes. See you.
People are allowed to have their own opinion, and we, you know, it's a podcast. We're not not super focused. We talk about things. We have real conversations.
So,
So are you caught up, JD?
No. No, not even remotely close. My wife is, and she filled me in, so I know all about Madison. So continue.
Madison with a Y, but not where.
No, you Madison think. With two D's and a D's Y, but not where you think.
Two N's. God.
Two N's. Oh, whatever.
Two N's. I was just like two D's, and they're both silent. No, it's just
two D's. All right.
I mean, I don't know how that character works. I look at that character, and I feel like I should be freaking annoyed at this character. I hate this. And I'm thinking, actually, she's kind of cool. It's like, why? Where is this coming from in my brain?
Oh, my wife was annoyed as hell. Couldn't stand her.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't stand her either, except that for some reason, in Wong's presence, she's okay for some reason.
Again, I watch the show, and I love the episode, and then I go online, and I see people complaining, and I'm like, why?
About
like,
what?
They've already made the decision that they don't like the show.
Yeah, too
I think
too bad
so. There's
them.
A lot of people that's like, yeah, I've already, they're like, oh, I don't like it, and no matter how good an episode is, I'm not going to like it. And it's, and like, this episode is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
irreverent?
No, not even that. Like, that, the Madison Wong stuff is, it's funny, but it's not the main point of what happens to Jennifer in the episode. Like, she's trying to date, so she creates a dating profile, and she's not getting any hits. And
I know how that feels.
What's her friend's name from the law firm, or her paralegal? I can't think of the character's name, but she's like, well, create a profile as She-Hulk. And she's like, oh, I'm not gonna do it. And then,
which
like,
is, you know, good for her. And it's Ginger Gonzaga. And Nikki, played by Nikki Ramos. Nikki Ramos. Her name's Nikki Ramos, played by Ginger.
Yeah. Right. So it's out of one night out of desperation, she creates a She-Hulk dating profile and gets a bunch of hits, you know, after that, you know. And like, then she starts going on dates, and there's a lot of weirdos. She gets one date as Jen, that's right. And that was a really bad, awkward date. And then she's going on dates with these other guys, and they're a lot of weirdos, and then she finally gets like this quote unquote perfect guy. He's a doctor, he's sensitive, he cares about her feelings, blah 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 blah. They go back to her place, craziness ensues because she gets caught away by Wong, but then she comes back, you know, they get intimate. Like, they don't show that, you know, it's a Disney Plus show, so, but they get intimate. And then the next morning, she's watching the news in her living room. But she's not She-Hulk anymore. She changed back to Jen, right? And he comes out of the bedroom and he's like, who are you? She's like, it's me, you know? And he, like, his total attitude changes. He's like, well, I'm going to go. And she's like, that shirt that I couldn't find, just you don't worry about it. And he shoots out of there. And it goes back to the whole identity crisis of this. That's the point of this show, you know? Like, she wants to be herself, but she's having more success as this She-Hulk. And it's, you know, like, that's the point of the show. Like, her dual identity and her, and it's like, it's brilliant. It was done so well. And I'm sure there's many women who've gone through crap like that too with guys. And it's like, you know, as soon as they use a filter on Snapchat or whatever, then all of a sudden the guys start hitting them up, you know? But when they're just themselves, they're not getting hit up. You know, I'm sure that is something that women are going through today. And it's just like, you know, people who are complaining just don't get it.
And speaking as someone who is in the dating scene, some people use way too many filters. And I think part of that is because society makes them think that they're not pretty enough and they have to use these filters in order to fulfill society's idea of what they are supposed to look like, mm-hmm. or and how they're supposed to be. And you know, and this is, you know, this She-Hulk episode is kind of a mirror of that. Also, Mephisto confirmed, damn it, finally confirmed.
That's really Mephisto. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, man.
So Madison, hold on. Wait, let's take it a step back. Donnie Blaze is in the episode.
Who's Donnie Blaze?
Not any relation to Johnny Blaze, of course. he's a Carmitage dropout.
He's a magician. He has a sling ring and he's using it.
Probably stole the sling ring.
In a magic show, right?
He was kicked out. He was one of the chosen being trained, and they kicked him out because he decided one night to sling ring in a couple of kegs and a friend of his.
So Madison, the character that everyone hates, he has her on stage. He opens up a portal. She disappears, and then later on, she reappears at Wong's, and which is what the catalyst of the show is. That's why Wong goes to Jen to try to get him to stop using real magic in his shows. And he's like, how'd you get out? And she's like, I met this like demon and I made a deal with him.
A goat. She met a, was it? She met a goat.
A goat.
Whose name was Jake. And I'm sure it wasn't Jake from State Farm. And like, and she had to sign something in blood. She, for a few drops of her blood, she signed a contract. And then he thoughtfully dropped her off right in front of Wong with a beating heart in her hand. Which I did not expect because Disney doesn't usually go that far.
But wasn't one of Mephisto's disguises was Jake something? I can't think of.
Maybe, Jake something is a professional wrestler.
No, like literally Jake something?
Jake something, yes.
Does he also play third base? Jeez, what is this?
But yeah, so like that's been all over the, not all over the net, but the people have been talking about that. Like
that's interesting. That's very Black Phillip from the Witch movie. You ever see The Witch? You guys ever see The Witch? God, why can't I think of her name? The one who played Magic from The New Mutants, Last Night in Soho, the chess movie. What the heck is her name?
Oh, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Thank you. Yes, that's her first movie. Yeah. They think she's a witch, but she's not a witch, but they have a black goat named Black Phillip, who at the end turns out to be the devil, and she sells her soul to him and becomes a witch.
Well, there
movie
you go.
Movie rules, by the way, but yeah.
So apparently Madison sold her soul to Mephisto. And later on, when the idiot with the sling ring, you know, decides to make things interesting on his magic shows, he opens the wrong portal and all these little demons are flying out. When you look through it, it looks pretty much damn well like Mephisto's place. So, you know.
You mean hell?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, there are several hells in this, but I just, you know, there's too many. I mean, I know they've trolled us in the past, but this time there's just too many.
We shall see.
Uh-huh. I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay. I think he's going to pop out at the end of the series and go, John O'Grady, I'm here for you.
No. But I really think that this, I mean, I don't think they'll do anything with him, but I think this is just, you know, an Easter egg from the hen the size of a skyscraper. It's just.
Yeah. And if they have proven anything with the show is like, they are watching and listening to MCU fan comments, and I kind of feel like that's why they did it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, again, I'm enjoying it. John's obviously enjoying it.
I am. I JD really
can't
am.
Can't be bothered.
Way more. I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I would. I just, you know, this is well worth it.
Yeah,
you really should see it if you can.
But JD's too busy watching Nope.
Nope was good.
Unlike, oh no, that's second.
Go ahead, unlike
Man of Steel, but we're, that's that the bad. Second thing. What?
That was bad.
Yeah, that was very bad.
I am convinced that if I were to go through it if I get a digital copy with the music track extracted, if I could edit it with some color correction tools, I could find a decent, not a great, but a decent movie.
Only visually though, because the dialogue and.
I can't do anything about that. That's why I say decent. I didn't say it'd be good. I said it'd be decent.
Well, you could.
If you threw in John Williams,
that's why I wanted the music. That's why I wanted the music track so I could replace it.
You could you could dub your own dialogue in.
I have done not my own dialogue, but I made a movie back in 2005. And here's a funny story. Made a movie in 2005, and the lead actress was a gigantic pain in the ass. And we had some issues with our original sound guy. And this is how my brother got into sound. And so we wound up having to redub some dialogue, and we wound up redubbing all of her dialogue.
Wow.
And I don't want to ever do that again. These are the reasons why I'm not in filmmakers, because this was my indie film experience.
Speaking of which, it sounded like they dubbed all of Madison's dialogue too.
Well, all dialogue is dubbed. So, you know,
really?
A lot of dialogue is done in ADR.
Really?
A lot.
Yeah.
Why?
It's hard. Huh. Hard to get good dialogue in wide shots.
Right. It's also hard to get good audio in an open room with.
Yeah. You get when the character's like this away from the microphone, it's not a video podcast. You can't see. It's harder to go. And when it's closer, you get better, cleaner audio. So
right.
You just do it later. And a lot, not always, but in a lot of cases.
So anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of
Man of Steel, this is kind of related. This is, you know, DC versus Marvel. Kassan Warren said, I think the defining trait that separates Marvel from DC is the incorporation of humor. It's not for the presence of humor in Marvel. Many of the content post Infinity Wars would not be received well if it was not for the presence of humor. Mm-hmm. Many of the content posted in Infinity Wars would not be received well.
I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah. He also said, I'm watching Thor, Love and Thunder and find it so easy to put down. If not for the flashes of humor, it may have stopped watching right away. I think humor grants enough distraction to suppress our critical eye.
See, I think there was too much humor in it, like it just for humor's sake.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. Like that's the thing. Humor humanizes all of the characters in Marvel. Like, you know, because normal people will joke. Like one of the normal reactions when you're going into battle is to, you know, joke around with your buds because
right,
you're all nervous. You've got all of this nervous energy and you know, you got to let it out somehow. And, you know, you will hear people tell really inappropriate or any joke that they know and get around any way they can before going out into battle. And that's how you deal with it psychologically. So, you know, with DC, it's just so dark and everything and nobody acts like an actual human being.
It's funny because I don't think there's like, I think for a movie with the villain is Gore the God Butcher, and that he has a pretty serious backstory. I do think there might be too much levity.
Yeah,
in Love and Thunder, like it makes the movie feel kind of frivolous at times.
Yeah,
you know? Exactly. And I think that the first two Thor movies are so absent of humor, and it's such a strong part of what makes Ragnarok work. But Ragnarok still feels like weighty, where this one it just doesn't. You know, it just. It's not a bad movie, but I think Marvel's kind of starting to go too far in that trying to be different or trying to like define itself by its humor. And I think that like I made the remark last week on Man of Steel that like that IHOP scene, if Superman had looked at Pete Rossman's going, hey Pete, and then boom, got hit or something, we would have gotten like a laugh, you know, and it would have cut tension a little bit. But I don't even think we're trying to cut tension in some of these Marvel movies anymore. I think they're just, I don't know, straight comedies at points, and it just, I don't know. I think this might be why I'm feeling apathetic toward a lot of Marvel things now. Like, it doesn't, it felt like Taika Waititi was going too hard in the humor direction to the point where there were large chunks in the movie where I did not feel much of anything.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's not a bad movie, but I don't feel anything.
But I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that way with No Way Home or Multiverse of Madness.
Well, No Way Home has Aunt May's death. That is the big crux of the movie, right? And there's a lot going on there. And humor is a core of Spider-Man, but I don't feel like it was too much. Right. Whereas I do felt like in Thor, I felt like it was a little too much.
It was, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well,
it's not bad, but it just feels like it feels like it doesn't matter as much, you know? It feels like you're taking away the stakes too much by making it too much of a joke.
Yeah.
There are times when I have problems with running jokes that go on too long. Like I get embarrassed. I'm one of those people that feel the embarrassment for the character who's being stupid on screen. And like in Guardians of the Galaxy, they have stuff that goes almost, but not quite to the line. And I'm fine with that. But in this one, like when the Guardians were leaving, and Thor is sitting there just beating this dead horse of a joke. You know, it's like, I was like, why would anybody care about him? He's like, he's an idiot. They made him too much of an idiot, you know?
I don't know if he's an idiot so much as he's deflecting and they're just trying to be funny. I think that, quite frankly, Gunn's entire brand is skirting the line. Yeah. Right? Like, that's kind of what, and sometimes he goes over the line, you know, like, but that really is kind of what he's known for,
this went over the line way.
It's not Gunn, it's Waititi, and what Taika Waititi is really more like what we do in the shadows and stuff like that. And I feel like when you've had some successes, you think, oh, this is what works for me, and you kind of push the thing that makes you. And I think that in his mind, he might feel that's humor, and I think it kind of defanged our villains a little bit and made stuff feel not as important, you know?
Yeah, well. Speaking of things that are humorless, we talked about Man of Steel last week.
Fair enough.
The opposite, the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Asking the questions, is it a good Superman movie? Is it a good movie?
Is it a movie?
It is a movie. That's all.
We got Timothy Jones saying,
Nice.
I thought it was great. A darker and dramatic take on Supes, but he was a little too serious. He looked constipated all the time, although it would have been a fun if he super farted a hole through a mountain.
He has sneezed an entire solar system away, or a galaxy, or whatever.
Some stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Sour grapes.
Sometimes. Sour grapes.
Yeah, sour grapes.
Available in finer newspapers across the country. So Wizard Podcast simply replied, no, no, I think it sucks.
Ain't lying.
And then we had Drew said, Drew C., your buddy, said, kind of long and boring. It didn't seem to be the start of a connected universe beyond a few Easter eggs. Green Lantern, for all its flaws, seemed more like a start of something bigger than Man of Steel.
That's the flaw with Green Lantern, is they weren't trying to make a good Green Lantern movie. They were trying to jumpstart a whole universe, and Geoff Johns sucks. And I have more thoughts on Geoff Johns sucking later.
Wow.
And Joe Nakadurian, he's at Joe Nak, Joe Catch, sorry, on the Twitter, said, yes and yes.
Simple.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so see, the problem, guys, is that we live in a world where some people think Man of Steel is a good movie.
Some people love it. My buddy Scott, regular Scott from Take a Knee, loves this movie. He has a lot of bad thoughts on things. But I mean, like, this is prime among them. I love Scott. I hate this movie with every bearing of my soul, mainly because I think it could be and should be so much more.
Although, you don't hate it as much as Batman v Superman.
No, it's way worse.
Yeah. Oh, way worse than Batman v Superman?
Oh, no. Batman versus Superman's way worse. Right. Okay, Batman versus Superman is my least favorite movie experience of all time.
So Don said he likes it too, but yet got real quiet when there were five people trashing this movie.
Well, because no one likes when someone's trashy. And he couldn't. He's like, I can't fight. Because sometimes, like, you're watching a movie that you know isn't good, but it just gets you. And he said, I don't have a connection to Superman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't feel anything for this character, I can see why you would feel that way.
And this movie won't give you a connection either.
No, I agree with you. I think that's what they were kind of going for. I think they were trying to give people who don't like Superman a Superman movie, and which I would argue why make a Superman
movie if
they really don't like Superman. You know, yeah. My argument the whole time. I don't know, man. I put way too much thought into a Superman movie. It's like, it derails me sometimes. Like,
all right, let's talk about.
Like, I feel like there's an alternate universe where I didn't give up, and maybe I could have done this, but yeah.
Well, I have good news. That is it for social media madness this week.
For all of time?
This week.
Oh.
How about just for the rest of the year? I'll take the rest of the year.
So, if you
damn it
would like to know where you can follow us on social media and be part of social media madness, here's our good friend D-Squared to tell you more.
Enjoying the show? Want to be part of social media madness? Make sure you are following SuperheroSpeak.com, where you can find all of the show's social media links at the top of the page. While you're there, you can check out old episodes of the podcast, as well as some other great content. Check the site often, because we are posting some great comic reviews, as well as comic book and movie news content every day. Make sure and follow us on Twitter, at SuperheroSpeak. And while you're there, check out the rest of the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. You can follow them at @stars_geek. The Geek World All-Star Podcast Network include great programs such as the Pop Prison Power Podcast, Colt 45, So Wizard, Fans on Patrol, the Gorilla Brain Podcast, and of course, Superhero Speak. Search for #GWAllStars. You will not be disappointed. Now, it's back to Dave and the boys on Superhero Speak.
Thanks for that, Don. And don't forget to check out the podcast of the man who does like Man of Steel, the Omega Level Nerds podcast, available on YouTube and wherever podcasts are available. And now we're going to take a quick commercial break. Be back with stories I brought, stories with John brought. We're going to be here for a while. So relax.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back.
I just got a text from my wife saying we get up. Andy can't find his Chromebook because all kids all have Chromebooks now. Like if you're a student in school, you're given a Chromebook. Andy can't find his Chromebook. And my wife just texted me, goes, when you get off the podcast, think like your son and look for his Chromebook because I can't find it. So I have to channel the spirit of a deranged six-year-old.
And well, that shouldn't be hard for you.
And, you know, really shouldn't. Really
shouldn't be. It wouldn't be hard for any of us, really.
I think that's why she sent that text.
All right. So starting off, we've been talking about this show a lot since they announced it was coming. We finally got to see our first trailer for the new Quantum Leap TV show. What did you guys think?
I don't know. If it wasn't called Quantum Leap, I think it was pretty good. But because it's called Quantum Leap, I'm apprehensive. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. John? Yeah.
I'm apprehensive as well, mostly because you would think that if they were doing this right, they would have tied the trailer in somehow with the original Quantum Leap.
They don't want to for some reason.
I know. And that's a problem because I'm getting really serious. Was it Ghostbusters, whatever the vibes, you know?
What the hell was that?
Yeah. What Sorry, was that?
That was my phone. I don't have it on Do Not Disturb. It was a text message.
I heard Ghostbusters beep, bada, bada, boop vibes. It's like, wow, that was well timed.
Yeah. No, but I'm getting 2016 Ghostbuster vibes, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, look, Quantum Leap, new people, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, but if you want people to take that investment they've still got in the original Quantum Leap and move that to this, you need to bridge that gap somehow. And I'm not seeing that. So there you go.
I mean, it's like, it seems like it's channeling the spirit of Quantum Leap, but I don't know, man. It feel like something's missing.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well,
even the trailer, the original trailer, made you care about the main character. And this is I don't know. I didn't quite get that feeling for this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's not fair to judge that off a trailer.
True.
But it just,
well, let me it doesn't
feel right.
Let me say, I Please. Thought I really liked it.
Okay.
I thought Raymond Lee came off really charming.
Oh, for sure.
In the trailer.
Yeah. He'll be good.
Like,
yeah.
I think he's a really good choice to lead a TV show. Like, I think he's going to do a great job. And I do feel like they are going to connect it to the original and they're going to wait and it's going to be a surprise. You know,
I wonder if he'll jump into Ernie Hudson and help them bust ghosts or something.
Because, like,
it's gonna help him find the crow.
Because that's the whole thing, is like, they don't know why he jumped when they knew that it wasn't ready, and they don't know, and he doesn't know because his memory is Swiss cheese. You know, like, there's gonna be a reasoning for it. You know,
yeah, but
he's not. And it's not like they're rebooting the show. That he's not Sam Beckett. He's a different physicist, so I do think they're going to connect them.
But you got to remember that the Quantum Leap program has been around since 1989 in this universe. If they are
1994,
1999, right? Something so like if that, they're if they're at least acknowledging that, then you know that program has been around for 23 years.
Twenty some odd years. I am of the mind that I think the ghost of Sam Beckett, because it seems to be not a reboot, it seems to be a continuation, but not really, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like Star Trek The Next Generation. Like, we knew there was a connection to the original Enterprise, but it's not, like, really presented.
Yeah.
Really? And then it was able to stand on its own feet. It took a while, but it stands on its own feet. This could do the same thing, but I feel like I feel like at least in this trailer, something's like, I don't know if I like the idea of the new Sam and Al being a romantic connection. Like, I just, that feels very hamstrung to me.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's, it feels like, was it a studio thing?
It does. It feels like a studio checklist. Like, like I said, I had this idea for a Quantum Leap show that I just think would have been better. It'd have been Quantum Leap meets The Fugitive. Like, they're hunting for Sam Beckett. I think that would have been a better idea for the show instead of this, where you just, I feel like the ghost of the original, especially because the original Quantum Leap had that open-ended ending, right?
Yeah.
That it's like, if we don't address that, I don't know, man. Again, it's like the people who are going to watch the show are mainly people that like Quantum Leap. Like, we're nostalgia. You're marketing everything on nostalgia. So you have to address the white elephant. Like, that's what's bugging me, I think, about this whole thing. Is like you said, it's not, we're not talking about Sam Beckett when we're in the same universe that he did all this stuff. Like, you're not rebooting, you're restarting. So what the fuck happened to Sam Beckett? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Nostalgia requires you to pay respects to the thing you're nostalgic about. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, yeah, you're going to reboot this. You have to address the fact that the Quantum Leap program has been around for 23 years. You have to address Sam Beckett. You at least acknowledge what happened back then. You know, I mean, it has to be one of these guys, you know, tried this 23 years ago and he disappeared. And that was it. Like, there has to be something more.
You can answer it real quick. Because he disappeared and they could never get him back, they shut down the Quantum Leap program. And then this guy brought it back.
True.
You know,
but still like, still doesn't close the door on it though. You know, there's the specter of Sam Beckett hangs over this.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. And by the fact you're not addressing it, it's even worse. Worse isn't like, you know, it's bad. It just, it doesn't address it.
We're assuming we're not addressing it because from a trailer, but we have to, you know.
No, you're right. And it's maybe it's unfair.
What's interesting is though, Quantum Leap was in the 80s, but it was in like, the program was in the future in 1994 or whatever it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
we said 99, right?
99.
Something in the,
it's in the 90s. This, it's 2022. Like, what the future is our present. So I think that's an interesting take on it too. We can't hear you, JD.
Sorry. I coughed and forgot to hit mute. We're in a future, we're in a world where this has been established for almost 30 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am at least going to watch the premiere episode. Well,
we should. I'm going to watch it too. I think we should review it.
Yeah. I'm with that.
Because there's enough debate amongst the three of us where I think that warrants a show.
Okay.
Besides, it'll be good to see Jules Strait in something again.
All right. Well,
so
that was... I included that because that wasn't part of the big thing that happened this weekend, but we've been talking about Quantum Leap, so I wanted to make sure we talked about the trailer. The big thing this weekend was D23, of course. Lots of interesting news came out of Disney's little thing. You're not so impressed there, JD?
Yeah, I'm underwhelmed, to be honest with you. This whole thing, I found this entire presentation remarkably underwhelming.
There doesn't seem to be a whole lot coming out either.
No.
But let's talk about some of the stuff that did come out of D23. The first one being, we got a trailer for Secret Invasion. It looks interesting, and I have no idea what's going on. Even though I've read Secret Invasion, the comic, I watched this, and I'm like, what is going on? And
I think it's safe to say that this deviates very much from the original comic, right?
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like, they're not going to give us a story with a bunch of heroes in it that have been replaced. And it's just like...
Well, to be fair, they didn't give us that either, right? We thought... Remember the whole marketing campaign for Secret Invasion was, who's really a Skrull? Turned out just Spider-Woman. And Elektra. And we knew that before the show. Yeah. They brought back a bunch of dead heroes.
Right, because they had been Skrulls.
And they had died Skrulls years prior. So it was actually like I remember when Secret Invasion came out, it being largely underwhelming with people, because people like built this up in their heads as like, who has been a Skrull the whole time?
Yeah.
It turned out just Spider-Woman, and she had only been replaced like in New Avengers issue like 20. So I mean, she hadn't even been the Skrull Queen for that long. And then they were like, on a mission from God, we're on a mission from God. Like, it was just weird.
Do you remember the online campaign for that? There was a lot of artwork where you would see like a hero's face.
It was Greg Horn, right? It was Greg Horn that did all that.
Greg did all
this. Yeah, that was really good. That was probably the highlight of that entire
That thing. Is what got people interested was that campaign, because it was like, you didn't know what was going on. There was just, that's all you saw was these hero masks with the Skrull face and the, you know, the shush hand gesture. And it was like, what is this?
I want to say Secret Invasion might have been the big crossover, the big line wide crossover follow up to Civil War.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So
it's a trend.
Well, the trailer looks very good. I mean, there's a lot more bitching spy.
15-year-old comic. Continue.
Yeah, no. There's a lot more, you know, spy stuff in it as opposed to like superhero stuff in it. So it looks good.
It does definitely feel like it's
more of a thriller,
more of a spy thriller than a superhero story. Yeah, definitely.
So. We got that in Winter Soldier. So I mean, like, that's tough ground to like, you know,
true.
That's a great movie. That's one of my favorite Marvel movies.
And now we know Maria Hill has been trying to reach out to Nick Fury for
like years,
and he's just been ignoring. So
are they going to even address that he was replaced by a Skrull?
I assume so. I assume that's a big.
But they were friendly Skrulls, right? Like what is the invasion? Because last we heard, the Skrulls were working for S.W.O.R.D., which they haven't really acknowledged yet, and is flying out in space. So
in the comic, it's like it's not the entire Skrull empire that's invading. It is a subsect of Skrulls. It's like a band of religious zealot Skrulls.
Like, oh, good. We don't know what that's like.
Never gonna leave that alone. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, it was weird. That was a weird choice in Captain Marvel to make the Skrulls not bad guys. You know, that was a nice little plot twist that I wondered how that was gonna. I knew they were gonna do this, so I wondered how that would pay off when this came around. But I don't know. It's gonna be,
unless they've been bad guys the whole time and just tricking us.
Could be.
Nah, that would invalidate a lot of the Captain Marvel movie.
Okay.
Like, it would make it. Look, you know, I like that movie better than you guys, apparently, but it's just they're not gonna invalidate most of the motivation of that movie, right? They're not just gonna.
I still don't understand her motivation. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie. It's a very mediocre Marvel movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So. Not Love and Thunder.
I think Love and Thunder was better.
Really?
I do.
Yeah. Because she was also, it was also a humorless movie.
Not entirely. The Flurgan had a couple of moments.
I don't. It's my least favorite script, and I mean, a lot of people blamed Brie Larson, and I don't think she's bad in it. I think
she's not a bad actress. I think the material
that she had wasn't great, and making Mar-Vell the villain. I don't know, man. There's a lot of choices in that movie that I'm like, I don't know about this one. Or no, Jude Law. He wasn't Mar-Vell.
Jude Law, right?
Yeah. Annette Bening was Mar-Vell. The fact that I just said that was weird. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Again, but I'm not a huge Captain Marvel fan to begin with, so I'm not the right audience. I thought Miss Marvel was better.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see in the Marvels. Maybe she's got a good script now, and she'll be fine. So
we'll see.
They better have a good script, because you got three really good superheroes to work with. And anyway, sure.
All right, so let's move on to another Marvel trailer that came out from D23.
Moving on, because we have so much to cover.
That John was curious about JD's take, Werewolf by Night.
I feel like this was made for me.
It was. I was watching it. I'm like, wait a minute. Haven't I read something like this? Like,
I feel like this was like someone saying, hey, JD, you know, we know you haven't really enjoyed a lot of the Disney Plus stuff. Like, this one is for you. And it's like, that's, yeah.
Is it going to be in black and white?
Don't know. Don't care. Hope, kind of don't hope. I'm good either way. Like, I love the special presentation that felt very much like a very grindhousey.
Right, or ABC like Saturday afternoon.
Or Sunday, yeah, with their detective show kind of vibe.
Did you see the way the logo came in?
Yeah.
That's the way the logo looked like in late 70s, early 80s, the special, the ABC special.
That's what I just said.
I know. It's just like to see that, like I got flashbacks.
No, it is cool. I didn't look to that. I just saw YouTube stuff. But I mean, no, but I appreciate it because I love all that stuff. Like I'm a big Columbo fan. I love Kolchak. Like that stuff's great. So, and then the werewolf thing, and I like the presentation. I was like, all right. And it's just going to be a one-off. And I think that's my big issue being these Disney Plus things. It's such a commitment. Such a commitment. And this is like, we're just going to give you a fun werewolf story done in one. Sold. I'm in. Cool.
Well, until they bring him back, and was it Darkstalkers?
Let him bring it back. Like, who cares?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah. No, we want to bring it back.
But... yeah, give me a movie. You know, like I'm okay with a movie. It's all this like, hey, I've got 12 shows, 12 episodes for you. It's like, oh, God, it's 12 hours of my day. I got to commit. I mean, like, yeah, this looks fun. I liked it. What'd you guys think of this one?
Says I thought some executive at Disney would be like, you know, those superhero speak guys, they like this stuff, but I don't think JD's completely on board. I think we need something to catch.
It truly felt that way to me watching that trailer. It truly felt they're like saying, okay, you know, kid, this is for you.
It was really cool.
I thought it was well done. They were going for a vibe. They definitely captured it. I'm just like, I'm so confused. Like, oh, and I get Werewolf by Night isn't like a typical superhero comic. It's not a superhero comic, you know.
It was.
Like, you know, it's a throwback to the old days when comics were monster books, you know, and cowboy books and that kind of stuff in the 50s and 60s. So it was like, okay, I get that, but I don't know. I mean, I'm just gonna have to watch it and see. Like,
I was looking for Quentin Tarantino's name somewhere.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, it really felt like literally the movie Grindhouse, like, which was, you know, a takeoff on all the old Grindhouse movie. Like, just, I don't know. It was pretty cool.
They definitely captured a feel, like, and it got me curious. You know, am I gonna like it? I don't know. I'm gonna have to watch it. That's what
it's different. Like, I like one thing I like about these is they're trying to do something different with all of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like every one of them is trying to be different. So I appreciate that. It doesn't all land for everybody, which again, that's pretty cool. So I'm curious to see how this one goes. Cause this is like, if it's not horror, it's like playing it. It's like pretending to be horror.
Yeah.
So it's intriguing. I don't know. I don't know what to think really.
Cause also how deep are they going to go on Disney Plus with it?
Disney Plus is opening up a bit. So I don't know. I mean, we're not going to get werewolves eating people, but.
Right.
But this will show us what the new level is, right?
True. Like, that's true. What can they do?
Good question. Well, let's walk away from Marvel for a second and talk about the other trailer that we got. The LucasArts, pardon me, wow, Willow is back, guys, in a TV series for Disney Plus. John, you go first because you are the one who's the most excited about this.
I'm all in, and I heard that Matt Mardigan is going to make a cameo in it, basically. So like this is what I'm talking about. They made a second Willow movie, and Willow's still in it, but they're paying homage to the prior movie, and this feels good. You know, this movie just has the same kind of, I don't know, whimsical, mystical feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not the world that they created for Willow was way more open and, you know, had a lot more possibility. You know, it wasn't the same old elf, dwarf, gnome, halfling, boom, boom, boom. You know, here's a giant elephant like thing that we're going to call elephants or whatever. It's just like, there was a lot of possibility in there. And this, even the trailer is showing you, oh yeah, oh no, we didn't even scratch the surface of this place. So it looks really good. I'm all in. I can't wait to see this.
In a post Lord of the Rings world, because when Willow comes out in 88, I want to say, we didn't get, and it seemed like we would never get a Lord of the Rings movie. And this was all, it felt like George Lucas via Ron Howard's way of giving us a Tolkien-esque story. And now that we've gotten more than our fair share of Tolkien films, I just wonder what a 2022 has for, what Willow has for 2022. Like, man, I loved that movie growing up, but I don't know. Like, is this going to work? And again, I'm always too, like, well, if they had faith in this, is this a movie or just a show? I'm not even sure.
It's a show, I believe.
It's a show.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I don't know. Season one.
Season one, okay.
Well, see, okay, addressing what you just said. The greatest thing about Willow was the bad guy was good. Like, I mean, like, you, there was an actual antagonist. In The Lord of the Rings, the antagonist is, well, the One Ring, right? And, you know, you and everybody else, all the other bad guys were basically faceless or, you know, one or two possessions, whatever. But you were, it was an epic adventure as an epic adventure. That was it. Like, this, they're actually going against somebody for something. And that was the great thing about the original Willow, was that, you know, it was pretty clear cut what they needed to do. And they were, they had an actual goal at the end, and, you know, and that there was an actual face to that goal. And this, I don't know, like, it, the fight mattered more. It felt like it mattered more because you could understand it all. It wasn't more philosophical like the Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah. Lord of the Rings is more like they're fighting evil in general, not just a bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my question is like, what is the business wise now that we, like, now that we have these grand fantasy epic films, this plethora of them, what is Willow? Right? Is there still that connect? Is there still room for Willow in a post-Tolkien film world?
I don't know. The trailer made me feel like there is. And hey, Warwick Davis, man.
I love the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And Aaron Killingman is in this too.
I was going to say, is she going to be like the new Disney go-to for things?
Could be. She's been pretty good. Everything they put her in.
Yeah.
It's the third universe she's trudged in now.
Saoirse is in this too. Joanne Whalley is back as Saoirse. Like, you know, this whole thing is, I don't know, man. The trailer made me feel the same feels I had from the original movie. Like, it looked good, you know?
I'll use this word again. It looked charming. Like, I think it's, you know, I'm definitely going to check it out. So. Yeah, I have no many complaints.
You might put it on your list, Jay.
Oh, we'll review it. I guarantee it. Like, it's, this could be a geek seminal moment. You know, it's going back to Willow. I'm not sure. I was a kid, so I'm not sure if Willow was what they wanted it to be when it came out, because it had the pedigree, right? It was George Lucas and Ron Howard, right when he started becoming Ron Howard. You know, Ron, like, not just Opie, like, you know, this is post Splash, post, I forget what he made after Splash.
Oh God. Yeah.
But I'm sure it was something good. You know, this is his first foray into this stuff, which I don't think is his strongest work usually, you know, when he gets special effects-y.
Right.
Although, yeah, the special effects,
or like
special
say,
effects in the first one were pretty good.
No, I should say, no, I know. And especially for the era, it's Lucasfilm, right?
Hmm.
The industrial line magic. I don't think Ron Howard is at his best with high concept stuff.
Yeah, the original was in 1988.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 88.
Yikes.
I don't know. It's interesting. We'll talk about it.
All right. So continuing on with the Disney new, the casting news for Marvel. So apparently Anthony Ramos has been cast as the Hood for the upcoming Ironheart series. So we shall see. I don't know a lot about Ironheart. Like, I'm familiar with who the character is, but I haven't read any books. So I don't know. Are people excited for this show? I don't know. It's being pushed to the back burner. Like, there isn't a lot coming out about it. There isn't, like, a lot of hype around it. Like there was with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It doesn't... Something's missing. Yeah. Oh, never mind. Ron Howard made Cocoon. That was a great movie. I take it back.
Fair enough.
So, how about you, John? You excited for Ironheart?
I don't know yet.
You don't know? Yeah.
No, there's literally almost nothing out about it yet.
That's true.
You can't feel it. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we're not going to know what to think about it until we see Wakanda Forever.
True. Very true.
Then we have Ki-Hoon Kwan. I don't know who that is.
Short round.
Yeah.
He is going to be on Loki season 2.
He's got a comeback. He about 3-4 months ago, he said, I'm making a comeback to acting.
Yeah, because you know what else he's going to be in? Indiana Jones 5.
That rules.
Is he going to be Indiana Jones' actual replacement?
Probably not. I think he's just going to come back a short round. Or whatever they're going to call him as an adult. I imagine you can't call an adult, even though he's pretty short still. I imagine you can't call him short round.
they're just going to call him round.
See how many more bad jokes we can make. Square. Oblong.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
Dodecahedron-esque.
But you know what? Good for him. You know, because I think he killed it as the kid. I don't know why he walked away from acting.
For a long time.
Just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it anymore. He went and had like a normal life, but now all of a sudden he wants to act again. So mm-hmm.
We saw Goonies recently.
He was in Goonies too.
Yeah, he's Data. And my kid absolutely loved Data. I think Data was his favorite character in Goonies. So I mean that kid had something, you know, it was talent. I'm curious to see where we're at with him. I really am.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out in Loki season 2.
Yeah,
he was in Head of the Class too.
Because I have no desire.
He was the
Iron Man 5.
He co-starred as Jasper Kwong in the sitcom Head of the Class over 2 seasons.
Oh, he was in like when they had the new kids come in.
Yeah, the later season.
Yeah, with Billy Connolly and they lost.
1990 to 1991.
Yeah, that show that sucked when the first class graduated, and they tried to replace it. Never works.
Yeah.
ABC should have just let it die.
Hmm.
True, or figured out how to like make them all stay.
They were all in high school for a long time anyway.
Yeah,
that show was on for like 6 years.
Well, that's the way those things. Yeah,
yeah.
So the one guy
from Head of the Class went on to become a Nickelodeon producer and was like as a horrendous human being and is like really. Getting
oh my god!
Right now, yeah. You guys
are talking about Screech.
No.
The heavyset kid.
His name is Dan Schneider.
Schneider.
And in real life, he went on to become the producer at Nickelodeon.
Yeah, he did iCarly and
I've heard what they did on iCarly. Yeah,
Jeanette McCurdy just released her autobiography.
Yeah,
I'm glad my mother is dead. Yeah,
I'm glad my mother is dead. Yeah,
and crazy title. And apparently, he gets the business for being just a complete piece of crap. So I don't. This Head of the Class came up. We never talk about Head of Class. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh no, Jeanette McCurdy is completely messed up because of the things they did to her as a kid to try and make her sexy and all that.
Yeah,
and the same thing with Ariana Grande.
They did like a lot of slime shots to the face that are just like they did a lot of things with like young teenage girls that make you go, ooh. I didn't watch that era of Nickelodeon. I was a grown-ass man, so I had no idea this stuff
I had happened.
They did a water gun scene. They did a water gun scene where it was just a bunch of guys surrounding her and hitting her. And I mean,
yeah. And one of the guys said, "This is like a Bukkake scene." Like the fact that it was set in a kid's show, like that line wasn't used, but they were using. They're saying that we are making, you know, they're making the analogy on set. I mean, that's wild. So at some point, I'm going to get my hands on that book and give it a read.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting that's, I don't have the class came up. So sorry.
It's fine.
I was an R. Carly fan. So, you know, I actually liked that show. It was pretty fun.
I never watched it.
It was actually fun.
There's actually a revival of it with the same cast.
Yeah. Well, minus Jeanette McCurdy for so far.
What's the older brother's name? the actor who plays the older brother. I remember watching that show and thought, this, he's got a future as like a comedic actor. And like,
and he disappeared.
And he disappeared off the face of the earth.
I don't know. He always seemed a little bit off to me a little bit. And it's Jerry Traynor you're talking about.
Yeah.
He was Spencer.
Well, aren't all the greats a little off?
Yeah, but he was a little, I don't know. But yeah, I don't, I hope he does well. And then Nathan Kress is Freddy. I don't know. Again, we're off track again. So.
All right.
What's next?
What's next is, of course, we now know who the Thunderbolts are going to be in the movie. So first off, we have Florence Yu as
Black Widow.
We have Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier. David Harbour as Red Guardian. Wyatt Russell as U.S. Agent. Hannah Joan Kern as Ghost. And Olga Ulenko, Taskmaster. And of course, Julia Louise Dreyfus is returning as, I'll just say, Madame Hydra.
Yes. I'm interested.
I don't know if this is going to go the way of the books.
No, I don't think so. That's kind of, I was very surprised by the lack of one Baron Helmet Zemo.
Yes.
But he could still be in it as the villain, or the antagonist, I suppose. Right. I don't know, man. I want to, Florence Pugh is the Hollywood it girl right now.
Yeah.
Right. She was in, I know we're not like a traditional movie podcast, so we don't talk about like, oh, she was in a movie called the movie, the Olivia Wilde movie that I can't think something dark.
Oh, the one that just came out that.
Yeah. What the heck is it called? What the heck is it called? With Chris Pine and Harry Styles and the cast hates each other. And like, I can't think of the title of the movie.
Don't worry, darling.
That's it. It's like a genre-esque film. Like, it's got this twist, but everyone who's reviewed the movie goes, you know, the twist 10 seconds in. Like, it's the town is, of course, it's very much like Stepford-esque or, something like that. But again, she's supposed to be fantastic in it. And she's just owned every single thing she's ever been in. So the fact that Marvel kind of got her while she was on the come up and did one of those Marvel contracts where you can't leave for a while, and they're really going to be able to tread on her being, she's kind of what Jennifer Lawrence was 10 years ago as far as levels of fame. So this is just good for them. It's crazy that she's front and center of the cast over the Winter Soldier, right?
Sebastian Stan,
Stan, who's been like a cornerstone of these movies since 2011.
Like, and you're right, she puts everything into every, like, no matter the part, she just puts everything into it. It's kind of fun to watch.
You guys aren't horror movie fans, but did you see Midsommar?
Oh my God, no. I read the plot for that because that was just
wild. It's a wild film. Very, very 70s, but she is awesome in it. Like, she's really good in just about everything she does.
Yeah.
And like, I'm very curious to see kind of what we do with all this. But at the same time, this reveal doesn't blow me away, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's no surprise in it.
There's nothing that makes me go, huh, you know, it just, okay, it makes sense, I guess. I don't know. I need to see something, right?
Yeah, I, you're right. Not only Baron Zemo, a lot of the people were saying, like, what about Abomination? Like, that they didn't just bring him back for
S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, that is weird. He's not a part, I don't think. It was a part of the Thunder. I mean, like, it just feels like we're using Thunderbolt name only. We're not actually doing the Thunderbolts. Right. Like,
was Red Hulk ever part of that?
He might have been at some point, but not like the real Thunder, not like the Kurt Busiek Thunderbolts.
Right, right.
You know, like, I don't
know.
Well,
that's another thing, because a lot of people were saying, what about Red Hulk? And I'm like,
well, you can't because the guy died.
You can always recast. I mean, like, it's like they never recast somebody before. But I mean, William Hurt is dead.
Yeah. Hulk. Zombie Red Hulk.
I don't know. Like, I need to see something. I need to know where it's going. Cause just looking at the cast makes you go, oh yeah, those are all people that have been in other Marvel films.
This is true.
I mean, the only one I'm excited about is Florence Pugh. And I love Sebastian Stan in these movies. I think Bucky is just a great character. And I love everything been done with him. I don't know what else to think about it though.
I think the whole, wait, this is going to be a series or a movie.
Movie.
This is a movie.
The whole movie could be literally just Sebastian Stan and Florence Pugh just playing off each other.
I mean,
can you imagine the dialogue between those two?
Could be.
I mean, the plot of the book is what interests me.
Yes, whole, and I don't think we're going to get that.
Right, the whole they're actually evil, but one of
super
them...
villains pretending to be superheroes.
Right.
And then they start liking it.
Right.
And then there's the conflict. Some of them want to be heroes. That's what I'm saying. I don't feel like that's what we're getting here, yeah, though.
They're already heroes. Like, they already...
Some of them is kind of
Sebastian's...
Guy.
They're all anti-heroes at the very least.
Yeah, okay, fair. I don't know. Yeah.
Taskmaster was only a villain until the end of Black Widow.
Right, but Sebastian Stan and Florence Pugh, I mean, they haven't shown Winter Soldier is definitely not a villain anymore.
Right.
Yeah, well, but US Agent is. Well, okay, here's the thing. It's like you had in the Thunderbolts, Hawkeye is a member of the Thunderbolts, and Hawkeye is like the conscience of the Thunderbolts. Yeah. And that's the crux of that early music run of Thunderbolts is you have Zemo on the one side, Hawkeye on the other, and it's where are they going to go? Are they going to lean with Hawkeye? Are they going to lean with Zemo? And that's the crux of everything. And like Warren Ellis, who is a dirty name in comics now, he kind of rebirthed the Thunderbolts as Marvel's answer to the Suicide Squad.
Right.
In the post Civil War Marvel universe, and it was different, and Bendis renamed him Dark Avengers. So I mean, like, this feels different than all of that, and I don't know what to think of it. And I don't, it could be a good thing, but right now I'm just kind of feeling like, oh, this isn't what I expected it to be.
No, it's not. I was surprised by the choices, but you know, we'll see. I guess it's one of the things we have to wait till we start seeing footage and
a plot synopsis, and I need something to kind of cling to. I don't know what to think about anything right now.
I'm just imagining that the banter between Florence Pugh and Sebastian Stan.
I mean, they're both very good. So it could work. Yeah.
But if it's well-written dialogue, they could easily play off of each other and just do hilarious things.
Agreed. I hope we have more than just hilarity. I hope we have.
I know. Yeah. But like the characterizations of both make it really interesting to see what happened with those two characters together.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then, this is a follow-up on a story we talked about a couple weeks ago. Matt Shakman has been confirmed as the director of the upcoming Fantastic Four movie.
Now, wasn't he originally the guy who was supposed to direct? No, it was John Waters that was supposed to.
Yeah, it was John Waters. Yeah. He walked away. Then they were talking to Shakman, and it was in negotiations when we talked about it a couple weeks ago. And now
that's all we got.
Yeah.
Rumor flying around is Cavill as Doctor Doom.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I forgot this. This was a big article that came out that I completely forgot. Who was it? Henry Cavill, Denzel Washington,
Krasinski,
John Krasinski, and one other.
It's all
big name.
None of it was confirmed though. It's all rumor, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I thought it was confirmed that they signed Marvel contracts.
As far as I've seen, it is just rumor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if they'd signed contracts, even with IMDb being what it is, they probably would have started filling out that. But
they didn't say what, they just said mystery roles. Like they'd all been signed to mystery roles.
But Shakman has done WandaVision.
Right, right.
That's he's also working on an untitled Star Trek sequel. He's did Succession, The Boys.
I don't even want to talk about Star Trek anymore.
Yeah, you and a lot of people. Game of Thrones, he did a few, or one, or two? Two.
Throne of Games,
yeah. He did a couple of episodes of Psych too. All right. So he's got some chops. This should be interesting. He's done well.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. They are just rumors. I was just double checking this. I can't remember. I thought I saw like a legitimate source talking about it.
I did too. I saw like Crave Culture and stuff like that. Like a lot of legitimate sources have talked about it, but Marvel itself have not said anything, which I guess was maybe one reason why I felt a little about this whole D23 thing, because like we're talking about Denzel and Henry Cavill. And, you know, we come out there with the cast of the Thunderbolts, and it's like, I know all these people.
Well,
you know?
That's
like,
true. And if they had signed them, they probably would have said something.
That's kind of where I'm at.
That is Marvel's MO. It would have been like, hey, we've got this guy cast as this now, you know? Right. Because they're not just going to sign them without knowing where they're going to put them. So.
And they also said it's going to be years before we get an X-Men movie. So it's kind of like, oh. This is just, you're just deflating all my excitement for everything about.
Yeah,
this.
But he also said there weren't going to be any more Avengers movies, and then he announced two. So
it's true.
I don't trust anything Faki says.
You're probably right, but at the same time, it told me, it said, don't get your hopes up, so I did not get my hopes up.
True. The other bit of casting news I almost missed, Tim Blake Nelson is returning as the leader. If anyone remembers that scene from The Incredible Hulk where his head starts to grow at the end of the movie, up the leader, and then we never see him again.
Is this the longest payoff to a stinger?
I think this is the longest payoff to any stinger ever in a movie.
14 years, right?
14 years, going on 15 or 16 by the time we actually see him.
And in Captain America, New World Order, or Captain America 4. So that's an interesting choice, too, to make him the main. Is he going to be the main villain in that? Like,
the leader could be.
Could.
If they play him right. Yep.
Well, I'm just saying, like, and again, I know everything is so screwed up with the Hulk rights, but like, you're going to have the leader and not have the Hulk. Like, I don't know. Just seems odd.
Agreed.
But here's a question. Does it make sense when we are dealing with Professor Hulk and not Savage Hulk?
Oh, the leader showed up in the Peter David stuff, so.
Yeah, he did. So, but I mean, I think the initial thought behind was brains against brawn with the two of them.
Yeah.
So.
Me.
All right. So that's all the Marvel news. Let's move across the aisle because we got two interesting DC tidbits here, because I know JD loves talking DC.
I do.
Sure.
So a couple weeks ago, we had talked about Dan Lin, who did the Lego Batman movie and whatnot, was in talks to take over and be the Kevin Feige of DC going forward.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nope.
I'm surprised. Wow. That was perfectly
apparently
done.
The negotiations halted and he walked away.
Zaslav said, we'll give you $3.50 per movie.
More likely, probably just looked around, saw the state of everything, said, yeah, I don't think so.
No, see, I disagree. I think that a guy like that would be like, oh, you know what? This is a pretty blank slate at this moment. I think I could do something with this.
Yeah.
Instead?
Do you think maybe it had something to do with they still haven't learned their lesson and they gave him a bunch of writers on what he could do with the movies?
I think he walked in and said, okay, if I'm the guy, this is what I want to do. And they went, yeah, but you got to do this and this and this and this. And then he was like, then I'm not really the guy. And he walked away.
I disagree. I think they didn't offer him enough money. I think it all comes down to money, especially when it comes to Warner and all this, because what's been the big story at Warner is we got to save X amount of dollars. I think that they told him what they wanted. He threw out a figure of what it would cost, probably something in the Feige range, and was probably said, no, we're not doing that. And he said, okay, then I'm not doing it either.
Yeah, but
these things always come down to money.
But here's the thing, right? Like, what was Feige making when he did Iron Man?
It's 2008, the difference is 2022.
I understand that, but also, it wasn't a proven thing yet. He had to prove, like, he had to build Marvel up to what it is.
Yeah, but he's still making money. Like, let's not pretend he made this for, you know, six chicken bones and, like, you know.
I'm not saying that.
A box of Lucky Charms.
I highly doubt he got paid, like, big bucks for it either.
Well, I don't know about big bucks, but I bet he got paid well.
And remember, Warner Brothers stock, like you say, they didn't pay him enough. Warner Brothers stock is still, like,
dropping.
It's $13.01, and that's down from a high of $29 beginning of this year.
They've lost like $1 billion or something like that. I forget.
I want to buy a couple shares
more than half
to see what happens.
You know, Dave, it's lost half. It's actually not a, if one were so inclined as to make money and believes they would get the money back, like if you had like a G to drop, I think Warner stock would be a decent one too. To play if one were to parlay and such things.
Yeah.
Especially just before they make the announcement of some really good person.
That's what I'm like. That's what I'm thinking. Should I get in now before they have something good, or maybe Black Adam blows everyone away, or, you know, I don't know. So, and then finally, Joker's real name.
Oh, screw them.
Is finally revealed by DC Comics.
Screw them.
It's Arthur. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
It is. What was it? Oswald
Jack
Smith?
No, it's Jack Oswald White.
Jack. Okay, he's the one who made the pact with what's your name?
I'm sorry, one more time. Jack White.
Yeah.
The Joker is named Jack White, the leader of the White Stripes. Uh-huh. Like, and is the middle name of Batman's second or third biggest villain, that being Oswald Cobblepot, the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
Geoff Johns needs to be stopped. Like, he just does things that are needless sometimes. Like, I roll my eyes at this. Like, Geoff Johns, man.
But here's the thing, and let's be honest. This is something that's going to get retconned. People are going to complain, and it'll end up getting retconned eventually.
Of course, but why do it? Because Geoff Johns just does stuff like this. This is what he does. It's needlessly explaining things that have no reason to be explained.
Right. That no one has ever asked for what's the true identity of Joker.
I'm getting flashbacks from Doctor Who with Chris Chinball as the runner, doing the timeless child and everything. Just like you said, exactly what you said. It's like just over explaining everything and adding more detail that nobody wanted, nobody needed, and actually is harmful to the franchise. It's like, what's the point?
Anyone who truly loves the character
is needless.
Anyone who truly loves the character doesn't want to know his origin because it makes him scarier. It makes him more of a force of nature.
Yeah, they tried that with the three Jokers, right? And I mean,
hey, guess who wrote the three Jokers?
Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons the Joker movie doesn't work for me. It's one of the reasons.
Yeah, but at least that's not the Joker, right? Like, it's a Joker, but it's not the Joker.
Right.
I mean,
and then you notice the panel in the one article you sent me, JD, like, they used a panel from The Killing Joke.
Because that's Geoff Johns.
Yeah. Which tries to make it more like, hit you in the face, like, yeah, this is definitely it. And it's like, yeah, but like, I don't know, is that still canon? Is The Killing Joke was never meant to be canon. And then it became canon, but is it still, you know, like New 52, they reset everything. So Flashpoint, they reset everything.
You just don't know what they're doing anymore.
No,
I think Geoff Johns knows exactly what he's doing. This is the stuff that excites him, right? This is the guy that brought us back. What's his nuts? You know, Hal Jordan and Barry Allen, just because it's just what he liked.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just Geoff Johns, man.
So, yeah. Jack White. It sounds like an alias.
Here's what disappoints me more than Jack White. It's Oswald. We have a character named, like, in the same universe, it's named Oswald. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, he just.
Not only Oswald, he's already got a villain that he fights whose name is Oswald.
That's what I'm saying. Oswald Cobblepot. Like,
right.
We're here. Like, I don't understand why he does the things he does. I really don't. But whatever, he sold them a lot of comics, so what do I know?
Yeah, and that's all that matters. That's why he gets to name the Joker, quote unquote.
Whatever.
Sometimes I wonder, like, and I know there's a lot with editorial and stuff like that with comics, but like, I feel like, did he write this just to see if he could get away with it?
No, he wrote, this is what he does, man. Geoff Johns has to explain everything.
Yeah.
Right, like there's no room for subtlety in anything that involves Geoff Johns. It's just like it is, and everything has to have an origin and like a story. I just I'm over it.
Me too. So that's it. That is all of the news worth talking about this.
Being worth talking about is.
I'm sorry. There was one last thing.
Oh,
sorry. There was one last thing. And this might spark a bit of a conversation.
No, let's do it.
I saw this right before we came on. I did send it out to everyone, but Netflix apparently has come out and said they're contemplating going to a weekly release schedule like everyone else and stopping the dropping everything all at once binging model.
I mean, that's what's working for everybody else. So
I think exactly. And I think that's why they're saying, let's do it.
It's streaming wars, right? It's just all streaming wars.
Well, the wars are coming to it. I mean,
are they?
The wars are ending, right? We're getting to the spot where people are consolidating. So this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's working for Disney and Amazon. So
Amazon still has probably the worst interface of them all. You can't find anything on there.
Bro, I was trying to find, Andy and I were watching Looney Tunes the other day. I was trying to find a specific Looney Tune, and they're organized by seasons. There was no such thing as a season of Looney Tunes. And it was like they all suck as far as like searchability functions go. So,
yeah, I mean, it depends. Every one of them's got their quirks. It's just that Amazon is like the worst by far, I think. And then like you say that the wars are ending, it looks like, I mean, I would have thought the top three would be basically Amazon because of sheer amount of content, and then Disney Plus, and then HBO Max. But it looks like HBO Max might take a hit in this marriage between Discovery and Warner. Yeah,
HBO Max's problem is that David Zaslav comes from Discovery, and Discovery is trying to remake HBO in its own image. Which is weird. I don't know why you buy HBO and try to turn it into a Discovery property, you know?
Yeah, you said that before, and it just makes complete sense. It's just, it sounds stupid every time I hear it.
Yeah, it's bizarre, man. It's super bizarre.
Very bizarre. I don't get it either. It's like...
How bizarre.
But
thank you for getting that.
Ooh, baby.
But I also don't think...
Yes.
Sorry.
Dead air.
My phone, notification on my phone.
Booty call?
I don't think, no, she's asleep by now. I don't,
God damn it.
She gets up early. She works at a school.
Hey.
Oh yeah, so do you. Mm-hmm. I don't think, do you complain about the interface of Amazon? I don't think people care about the interfaces. I think they care about the properties that are on them.
I think they care more about the content than they do. Yeah. I think it's a tech guy thing.
But you have to be, well, no, it's not just a tech guy thing, because you have to be able to find the content. And, you know, it's impossible.
I don't go on there that often. Like when I use Amazon,
I've never had a problem finding
Prime Video. It's like, it's either a movie I'm specifically watching or like the Lord of the Rings, like it came right up because like that's the thing they're pushing right now.
It has to be discoverable. Like I go on Netflix, you can scroll around, scroll down, find things.
You know what?
HBO though? Max is pretty good. Disney Plus has everything categorized.
I am not a fan of Netflix's Discovery engine because, like, number one, they some of the recommendations are horrible.
Oh no, no, yeah, the algorithm
and they
sucks.
Have way too many categories to go through on the front. Like recently viewed. Okay, I get your list. I get, but then it's like. Recommendations popular, there's like 10 of them, and I'm just
but there's still ways to go and see the top 10 currently streaming and go down into genres that aren't just all your recommendations.
I hate that I can't just like think about watching a program without something auto-playing. Is the absolute worst.
Yeah,
like I said, they all have their quirks, but like on Amazon, trying to browse through their stuff is almost impossible. It's all completely random, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, who knows what'll happen with HBO Max?
We'll see with Netflix if they do switch that model. I think they probably will because the other big ones are doing it and it's working for them. So, all right, so that's it for the news. We can put a pin in this one. So let's wrap it up. We have any recommendations or did you learn anything on the podcast this week? And John, you can go first.
I'm really beginning to hate Jeff Johns, if that counts.
Welcome to my world.
I mean, your world is you know, quite inviting and seems to make sense. So, yeah. I'm an old dog. I don't learn anything new. The recommendations, the summer season of anime is almost over. Lycoris Recoil has turned out to be probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. The characters on it are awesome. It's got a girl whose hand-eye coordination and predictive ability is so good she dodges bullets. She's basically the John Wick of anime.
Ah.
And she's kind of just this ball of awesome. Anyway.
John Wick.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Death Battle just did John Wick versus 007.
Who won?
Do you want me to tell you? Sure.
I'm not going to watch it.
Okay. Guys, spoilers, just... go a minute ahead from here. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay. John Wick got his ass handed to him.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's hard. It's hard to fight against a guy who has a laser coming out of his watch, a remote control Aston Martin with guns in front, and all the other little tricks and gadgets. That's what won it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, go ahead and watch it. I mean, it's still an interesting fight. So I shall not say more, any more about it. Dave, go, you know.
No, JD.
JD.
I recommend it hard. Nope. I really like that. It's weird. It's a very weird movie, which I think kind of is why I liked it so much.
Yeah.
It's so odd. But I already went hard into that earlier. I started the current King book that just came out, Stephen King book that just came out this past Tuesday. I've had the audiobook on Audible pre-ordered for a few months now, and I'm about 2 hours in. It's called Fairy Tale. And so far it's about a kid who saves an old man who broke his hip and falls in love with the guy's old German shepherd. But the guy is super rich and the kid finds out why, and he's got all these like gold coins. So I think it's going to spiral into the fact that this guy might be from another dimension or universe. Like that. I'm not there yet, but I'm enjoying it. It's very, very Stephen King folksy at the beginning to begin with, which is, you know, his spiel. So far, so good on that. That's my recommendation. It's been pretty good. I haven't finished it yet, but it's been pretty good. Did I tell you guys I finished Revival? And I thought about I'm not going to make suicide jokes, but I was just incredibly depressed at the end of Revival. It's a King doing Lovecraft, but doing it with like, you know, relatable characters and stuff like that. So that when you get to that dark, pointless ending, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, I can't take dark, pointless endings at this point.
You guys aren't going to see it. At the end, I'll spoil for you. It turns out, you know what happens after you die?
Nothing.
No, worse. You go to a universe where we're all slaves to ants, to giant ants, and we build monuments to the great old ones. And the ants just torture us and bite us, but there's no blood, and you just keep going for all of eternity.
I thought he stopped doing cocaine a while back.
No, he said he wanted to do a Lovecraft story. He's like, this is my best attempt at doing a Lovecraft-style story. And it was like, wow. So that Lovecraft, you know, the pointlessness of the universe and the dark old gods and all that stuff. And I got to the ending, and I was just like, I knew it was coming, but I got there, and I was like, wow, that's freaking depressing.
That's bleak.
Super bleak. Super bleak. I'm liking this one so far because it's the exact opposite of that. Seems like a lot of fun. How about you, Dave?
I will recommend that you go to superheroespeak.com where you can find the podcast every week. Links to all our social media at the top of the page, and comic book reviews by our good friend D Square, news and rants by yours truly. And I did learn that Jeff Johns apparently is a big White Stripes fan. In all seriousness, I will recommend Rings of Power on Prime Video. I'm really liking it so far. I'll see as I get further into it. We'll see if I still like it.
Interesting.
And I'll keep you updated. But as of right now, there's a lot of action in the beginning. It's like it's just enough backstory to be interesting, but not so much. You're like, ugh, you know. By the time you get 15 minutes into it, you know, it's just enough to be like, oh, okay, that's what's going on, and then boom, into some action. So yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I think you should check it out. So on that note, as always, thanks for listening, and don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.